1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of how we can please the Lord in our daily lives. In fact, look again at verse number 1 where the scripture says, "Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God." That's how he opens the chapter. Here's how you ought to live the Christian life. Here's how you ought to walk. Here's how you can please the Lord. It's not an exhaustive list that he gives us here in chapter 4, but a few examples to help the Thessalonian believers understand what it means to maintain spiritual health. For example, in verses 1 through 8, he says, if you want to please God, walk in holiness. In other words, abstain from sexual sins. Then when you get down to verse number 9, all the way down through verse number 12, he says, if you want to please God, not only walk in holiness, but walk in harmony. That is, love one another. The third example that we see here in verses 13 through 18 is not only are we to walk in holiness if we want to please God and walk in harmony if we want to please God, but he says here in these verses, if we want to please God, walk in hope. Walk in hope. And the implication is that we will both possess hope in our lives and also share that hope as we live our lives. And before we go any further, I just want to say this about the word hope. The biblical word hope is different than possibly how we would often use it in normal vocabulary. For example, the biblical word hope is not wishful thinking, as in I hope Jesus is going to come through for me. It's not wishful thinking. No, the biblical word for hope is a confident expectation. It's not I hope Jesus is going to come through for me. It's I know Jesus is going to come through for me. And this day, Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, is about that hope. It's about the hope we have as believers in the person and work of Jesus Christ, not hoping and wishful thinking that Jesus resurrected and that he's coming again. No. We have a confident expectation. We know that because of the person of Jesus Christ and because of the work of Jesus Christ, that not only did he die and rise again, but we are confident that he is indeed coming again. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 1 and 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." A lively hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we do not gather in this place this morning wishful people. We gather in this place as believers, a hopeful people, a confident people, for we know that what Christ has done in us, he was able to perform it because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I want us to go through these verses together this morning as we think about this hope, and I want you to understand a few things. Number one, write this down in your notes. You'll find it on the screen as well. First of all, we see the great distinction. The great distinction. Look at it again in verse number 13. I want you to understand the scripture. Here's what Paul says. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. What an appropriate verse on this April Fool's Day. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. By the way, I want to say this just to help us understand some things. Much of the problems that exist in Christian living and doctrine can always be traced back to ignorance, lack of understanding, lack of study, misinformation. And Paul says because ignorance breeds confusion in so many people's lives, and perhaps you're here today and you've been even confused about the message of Jesus. Well, Pastor, I thought I had to be this way and do these things in order for God to love save me and to redeem me. But you're telling me that it's grace, that it's faith, that Christ has already done it. Well, that's not what I've heard. And that's the problem. So many people today are confused about the Bible. They're confused about Jesus. They're confused about salvation because they've been misinformed. And Paul says, I don't want you to be misinformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. And Paul says, the first thing that I don't want you to be ignorant about is this clear distinction that exists in all of humanity. So he presents two distinct types of people in this world, according to verse number 13. There are those who have hope, and then there are those who have no hope. And this we need not to be ignorant of. That of all the distinctions that make up humanity, and there are many distinctions. There's male, female. There's color of skin. There's intellect. There's class and social status. There are some of you that are ugly. There are some of us that are good looking. There are so many different distinctions. But here's what Paul is saying: of all the distinctions in life, there is really only one great distinction among humanity. Those with hope, those with no hope. Those who are saved, those who are lost. Those who are redeemed, and those who are condemned. That is the great distinction. And it's the great distinction that exists in this building this morning. It's not so much who among us is church members and who among us is not church members. It's not so much what is the distinction of those who attend regularly at Laurel Baptist Church and those who may be here for the very first time. That's really not the distinction. The distinction in this building is whether or not who among us has hope and who has no hope. Who among us is saved and who among us is unsaved? Who among us is redeemed and who among us is condemned? That is the great distinction. Perhaps Paul's letter to the Ephesians details this more clearly than any other passage. We read some of these scriptures Friday night during our Good Friday service. Notice what he said in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. In other words, those without Christ are not dying. They are already dead spiritually. That they're not drowning, they are already drowned. And so he gives us this clear distinction. Those without God, dead. Those with God, alive. He goes on to say that without God, we were by nature the children of wrath. Again, the distinction. Without Christ, children of wrath. With Christ, children of grace. He explains it even further there in chapter 2 of Ephesians in verse 12 when he says, when you were without Christ, here's what you were. You were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. And so he draws the clear distinction that there's no such thing as those who are close to being in, those who are halfway into the kingdom of God. No. It's one or the other. You're either in or you're out. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either redeemed or you are condemned. That is the great distinction. And the emphasis that Paul makes here is around the word hope. You either have hope in this life or you have no hope in this life. And the context of this verse has to do primarily with death. Notice what he says there in verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. It's a euphemism. Those who have died. Those who have died. And herein lies another example of this great distinction that exists in humanity. That those without Christ will not only experience a hopeless eternity themselves, but death for an unbeliever is a permanent severing of all relationships with no hope of reunion after this life. That's what he's saying. enmity, and they have no hope for reunion ever again. It is a permanent severing of all relationships. That's one distinction. The other distinction is toward those who do have hope. Believers, Christians. It's different. Because Christians do not experience this hopeless grief. Sure, loss of a life brings natural sorrow, but it does not bring hopelessness. For the believers, goodbye in this life is only a temporary parting. And so what Paul is saying, we need to understand this distinction, that as an unbeliever, those without Christ, when they die, when they leave this life, when you take your final breath, it is a permanent severing of all relationships. But not so for the child of God. Not so for the believer, the follower of Jesus, that when death comes, it's only temporary parting. It's only a brief moment of one final breath here, the next breath there in the presence of God. That's why we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is what Paul is saying. Don't be ignorant about this great distinction that exists in all of humanity. And you may be here today wondering, well, what's going to happen to me when I die? That all depends. It all depends on what you do with Jesus. Because death is coming, friend. And the future joy of heaven or the future wrath of hell is determined by your distinction at that moment in death. It is determined in this moment. That's why it's so important that you examine yourself, the scripture says. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Because today you're either a child of wrath without hope or a child of God with hope. That's the clear distinction. Paul said, don't grieve the way unbelievers grieve. They have no hope. But we're different. We have hope. And when we say goodbye to those whom we love in this life, it's more of a see you later. The great distinction. Write the second point down there in your notes as we continue through the verses. Not only do we see the great distinction in verse number 13, in verse number 14, we see the gospel difference. The gospel difference. This is where the glory of the resurrection makes the difference, because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that gives this distinction that exists in humanity. Now, I don't make the distinction. Nobody else gives the distinction. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that gives this distinction, which is why Paul mentions it in verse number 14, because there is no hope without the gospel of Christ. Notice what he does. He makes a statement of faith. Verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That is the gospel. Somebody say, well, it's the gospel. That is the gospel, that Jesus Christ died and rose again. That's his statement of faith. That's the gospel difference. That's what made him go from being a child of wrath to a child of hope. That's what moved him from being condemned to redeemed. The difference, not church works, not religious obligations, not traditions, not psychology. No, what made the difference was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a gospel difference. A gospel difference. And this gathering today of the Laurel Baptist Church is motivated by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Don't waste our time by assembling together for a God that does not exist or a God who is not alive. No, we assemble in this place week after week after week because we believe that the God of heaven humbled himself, robed himself in human flesh, took upon him humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life at Calvary, and 3 days later gloriously arose from the dead, securing our relationship with him. And that's why we get up every Sunday and come to the house of God and sing his praises and pray to his holy name and grow in his word. Why? The gospel has made a difference in our lives. That's the significance. The gospel. By his death, he was making necessary the sacrifice for sin, but by his resurrection, God was accepting the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sin. And that's what Paul is saying. This is our statement of faith. This is what gives us hope, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. But look at the rest of the verse. Even so them also. I love that phrase. Here's what it means. In the same way. Even so them also. In the same way that Jesus died and resurrected. Look at the rest of the verse. Them which sleep in Jesus, that is, those who are in Christ when they die, will God bring with them. In the same way that Jesus died but did not remain dead, instead rose again, so it is with all who have put faith and hope in Jesus Christ, that when we die, we will be resurrected, for God will bring us to Jesus. He will bring us to Jesus. Oh, do you see that phrase there? Will God bring with him? God will bring us to his presence the same way he brought Jesus to his presence. I'm going to think about that this week. How will I know that I'm with Jesus when I die? Oh, when you die, you'll know in that very moment whether you're with Jesus or not. That's what he's saying. When you take your final breath, you'll know that very moment. You won't have to wait to figure it out. The Bible tells us to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me. Today, not tomorrow, not 1,000 years from now. No. When you take your final breath here, you open your necks in the presence of God. And it's all because of the gospel. The gospel makes the difference. And that is our statement of faith. Pastor, I just believe it another way. I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have you to be misinformed. I would have you to understand. I would have you to know the truth, that the only thing that's going to change your distinction and your destiny today is the gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Perhaps you might wonder, by what authority do we believe such things? I'm glad you asked. Because they might have been asking Paul the same question. And notice what he says in verse number 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. His statement of faith, that is, we believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That statement of faith is anchored in the word of God. And so it is true with our lives today. That our belief about the gospel of Jesus Christ is anchored in the evidence of God's word. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the scripture says in verse 3 and 4, Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the hearsay? No. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We say these things unto you, by the word of the Lord. We believe these things because of the word of God. He goes on to say in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And let me tell you, friend, divine revelation is always greater than human speculation. We believe what we believe, not because of speculation. We believe what we believe because this we have in our possession, the divine revelation of God, His word to us, His information to us. We know what we know about Jesus because of the Bible. It all begins and ends with the word of God. And here's the sad reality. Those who have no hope have no one to turn to, and they have nothing to look forward to. Isn't that the sad reality? The saddest thing I ever do as a pastor is to help people without Christ cope with death. I can't do it. And in those moments when you're trying to help people without Christ cope with either death themselves or the death of a loved one, you look into their eyes and you see they have no one to whom they can turn. They now have nothing to which they can look forward to. No hope. And this is why Paul emphasizes the gospel, because the gospel makes our distinction. Everything that sin has condemned for me, the death, burial, and resurrection has redeemed me from. You see, it's because of the gospel that we who were once distinctively children of wrath have now become distinctively children of God. For we have turned to Jesus, and we look forward to our future with Him. Not only do we look forward to our future with Him, we look forward to our future with those who have gone before us, who also live with this hope that we have in Jesus. Friend, there is a clear distinction in this room today. Hope, no hope. Saved, lost, redeemed, or condemned. That's it. It's the only distinction that matters. But there's a gospel difference. And what makes that distinction is the gospel of Jesus. And He willingly laid down His life. He rose again from the dead so that you could, by faith, come to Him and experience. What is the next point of our message? Number three, the glorious hope of Jesus Christ. Well, we see the great distinction. We see the gospel difference. Number three, we see the glorious hope. Paul now moves forward to speak of our future with Jesus, how that death in the life of a believer is not a finality. In fact, death for a believer only positions him to a place and a person for whom he was created. Do you understand that? But the person to whom you were created is the person of Jesus Christ. The place for whom you were created was not this earth. It was for heaven. And that's why the scriptures say this world is not our homes. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We weren't made for earth. We weren't made for ourselves. We were made for Jesus. We were made for heaven. And that's the hope that we have even in death. That death positions the believer to the person for whom he was created, to the place by which he was created. So Paul says, here's how the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to happen. Here's how the future is going to unfold. By the way, until you deal with the death and resurrection of Christ, you will struggle with the second coming of Christ. Well, here we go. We're going into all this rapture stuff and coming, and I just don't know about that. You're not going to know about that unless you deal with the death of Jesus. You're not going to understand it unless you come to grasp with His resurrection. That's what He's doing here. He's moving from the death and resurrection of Jesus to the soon coming of Jesus. Look at what He says in verse number 15 again. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, what He's saying here is that those who die, those who are asleep, will arrive with Jesus before those who are alive at His return, okay? It's the same concept. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. That those who are alive when Jesus comes back is not going to beat those who are already dead. Those who are already dead in Christ are there in this very moment. But then he goes on to talk about what's going to happen to the rest of us who are alive at the coming of Christ. And that's really all that it's going to boil down to. We either die in this life before Christ returns and enter into his presence, or we are alive when he comes. And we are taken with him. Notice what he says in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's saying when he returns, the Lord himself's going to come. Aren't you thankful for that? He's not sending someone else to get us. He himself is coming. There's going to be a rallying cry. I've had many people through the years ask me, what does all that mean? A shout, a voice, a trump of God. Just put it this way. There's going to be a lot of noise when it happens. It's going to be a noisy event. It's going to be a rallying cry, so to speak. And the dead in Christ, verse 16 says, are going to rise first. That is, those whose souls are already with Jesus will be reunited with their resurrected bodies. And that's the picture of the glorification of Christ. How that when we leave this earth, our bodies go into the ground, our souls go to meet Jesus. But when he comes, our glorified body, our new body, our slim, fit, six-pack body is going to go meet Jesus, and there we will forever be with him. And then he says in verse 17, look at it. And we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, that those who are alive on the earth at the time of his return, they're going to be snatched up. They're going to be called away. They're going to meet Jesus in the air. And here's what we come to understand about this glorious hope for those who follow the gospel. And I'll mention these two things and we'll be done. Number one, it's a future hope. It's a future hope. Notice what he says there, verse 17. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It's a future hope. Think about that. We will be forever with Jesus. Never will we be separated from Jesus. It's a future hope. We look forward because the resurrected Lord of life is coming again. And when he comes again, he's taking us with him. And when we go with him, we will never leave him again. We will be with him forever. This is John 14:3. When Jesus said, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. It's not only a future hope with Jesus, but it's a future hope with our loved ones. Look at it in verse number 17 again, because so often we skip through this and we don't really understand what he's saying. Look at it in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Say the next two words with me. With them. With them. With who? The dead in Christ. Grandma, grandpa, mom and dad, our daughters, our sons, those that we love dearly, those who have gone before us. When God says, come be with me, he's also saying, come be with us. Come be with us. It's a future hope. It's not only a future hope, friend. It is a present hope. It is a present hope. And that present hope is declared for us in verse number 18, the final verse of the chapter, when Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. He's not speaking of the future. He's speaking of the present. That we can be encouraged by this. We can be comforted by this. We can have hope now. Not just hope tomorrow, but hope today. By what words are we comforted with in this present life? Well, I think it's simple. The words of the gospel of Jesus. That his death and resurrection has sealed the future of those who have turned to him by faith in his message. This is why Paul would later say in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, he said this, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us of all sin and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That word peculiar means a distinct people. And here we come full circle. That the distinction that exists in all of humanity goes back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Jesus gave himself, resurrected from the dead, so that he might call to himself a distinct people, a people of hope, a people of grace, a people of forgiveness, a people who are redeemed. You see, the question on this Easter Sunday is, do you have this hope? And you can't say, I hope so. That's not how it works. Do you have this confidence? Do you have this assurance? Do you have this knowledge? Of what distinction are you today? Saved, lost, redeemed, condemned, child of wrath, child of grace. The gospel of Jesus makes the difference. If you'll place your complete and total faith in the gospel and repent of your sins, you can experience the glorious hope that is only found in the resurrected Jesus. I pray that'll be your response. God has made his choice. He has given his calling. Now it's up to us to respond to him. To say, no longer am I going to trust in myself. No longer am I going to rely on religion. I am coming to Jesus, and I'm putting my whole faith and hope in Jesus, and I'm turning away from those things that distract me from Jesus. I'm repenting of these false works and false lives, and I'm giving it all to Jesus. And friend, the Bible says that's all that is necessary to move that distinction from lost to saved, condemned to redeemed, to no hope. Easter's not just about a day to come and pledge your allegiance to religion. Easter's why we live. Easter's why we come back next week. Easter's why we follow the gospel. Easter's why we have hope. Because only one God has ever laid down his life. And just as he, so will we. We place our confidence in Jesus. I'm going to close with one verse. The verse is on the screen. John chapter 11. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. That's important because we are dead without Christ. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. When Kathy called me this morning and said, Pastor, Dad died. He died this morning. We've been praying the last couple of weeks. We knew he was getting close. After we prayed and shared a few words together, I said, Kathy, you know, to think of it, what a great Easter Sunday for your dad. I said, everything I'm going to